Welcome to episode 6 of the National Bank of Rwanda podcast. For those who have been listening, wow, quite the journey. Thank you for always tuning in to this podcast. Don't forget, you can find the National Bank of Rwanda across all your social media platforms. We're talking about TikTok, Threads, it's coming soon as well. Right around the corner, Twitter, sending all those suggestions. And for those that also listen to us on the Twitter spaces, thank you for making the time. And thank you for making the time to listen to today's episode that will focus on consumer protection. Now, why consumer protection? What does consumer protection mean? Why financial consumer protection? How does the Central Bank of Rwanda protect you? All those questions are going to be answered by an expert. And if you have more queries, don't forget as well to send those in. You can use our direct messages. Do you have the National Bank of Rwanda application? Find it across all application software. We're talking about Google Play Store. We're talking about Apple Play Store as well. For today's conversation, we are joined by Mr. Kajungu Frank. He is the Manager, Financial Sector Conduct and Consumer Protection, Market Conduct Supervision Department at the National Bank of Rwanda. He's a man wearing many hats. So he will be sharing a lot on consumer protection. Thank you for making the time, Frank.
Thank you for having me.
As you can hear, Frank is very soft-spoken, but hope to get a lot of words out of him. Frank, before we dive into consumer protection, the Premier League football tournament is around the corner. Are you an ardent football fan? Going by what happens at the Central Bank on Fridays and down in the cafeteria, who are you rooting for this season?
I don't know whether I'm going to be fanatic or if I'm going to be realistic, but as a fan of Manchester United,
yeah, this could be a year. You believe in Eric Ten Hag?
Yeah. 10 years. It's a long journey. So I think it's our time now.
As a Liverpool fan, I'm telling you, we waited 20 plus. You might be on 20 plus years as well. Let's dive into the topic at hand today, financial consumer protection. When someone hears protection, you know, I think about ISCO, others think about RDF. You are the RDF of the financial sector. What is financial consumer protection?
Thank you. I think maybe for me to give a clear definition of financial consumer protection, let me start with the background. As I said, it's the RDF of the financial sector. Consumer protection is all about, you know, looking at the interest of the consumers. It's been a long, we had a very long journey to have our financial institutions be where they are today because we are a happy financial sector within the region. But now we need to shift our supervision approach, been focusing on prudential, which people usually know as stability. Now we are looking at the protection, the interests of the financial service consumers. Now, when we talk of stability, we mean the stableness of the sector, the soundness of the sector, so that they are able to serve the general public. And now looking at where we are at a rate of 93% financial inclusion at the Finscope survey of 2020. And, you know, we've done a lot to be where we are today. It's been a long journey since 2008 when we did our first Finscope survey from 47 to 93% within just 12 years. So we need now to protect those that are already onboarded, but also using the protection to attract those that are not yet onboarded. So we are trying to make sure that whoever comes to us is well protected, but also the assets are well safeguarded.
Personally, and I've fallen a victim, some form of financial fraud. This is through maybe different usage of my cards. Could be Visa, could be MasterCard. It's habits that we don't notice, right? And at times, you may think about it's just $1, it's just $2. But it adds up. If it's $1 from Arnold, $1 from Frank, $1 from Porsche, then that's a lot of dollars if someone's able to do it right. So when you look at your mandate to protect this 93% of the people, what has been the major challenge in protecting them?
Yeah, of course, the first challenge is, you know, was resistance. People being financial institutions, even the people work within the financial institutions, they're used of prudential. So seeing central bank changing now the direction to the other end was not an easy.
First of all, what is prudential?
Prudential is, you know, looking at the stability, you know, the norms and the liquidity coverage ratio so that even if any shock comes, financial institutions are able to absorb that shock and then continue serving the general public. So all those measures or indicators that the central puts in place make sure that the sector is sound and stable are what we call prudential norms. The liquidity coverage ratio, the reserve ratio, the net stable, all those are what we call prudential. Now, looking at that, and then we shift. Now we start saying, you know what? Are we not making progress on the expense of the end user? Now we need to look at the consumers. We need to grow as they also grow. So that's now our mandate. Make sure that we create that confidence. We build the trust within the sector so that whoever comes to the financial sector, they have that confidence and they have that trust for whoever they want to go to. That's our mandate.
Then that takes me back to something similar to the previous question. Why should a small guy like Arnold, small consumer, small pusher, small Dennis somewhere on the streets, Jean Domo, why should they care about consumer protection from the central bank?
Consumer protection concerns everyone, including the 7% that are financially excluded. Because whoever you are, wherever you are, at one time you need to go to the bank. One time you need to face MTN Mobile Money or Airtel Money or Forex Bureau. All those are financial services. So in our daily life, we need money. I understand now there's no one who lives without money. So if we talk of money, then that is financial service. So as a financial service consumer, because whatever you do when you have money, you are consuming a service, a financial service. You need to know your rights, but at the same time, you need to know your obligations. So financial service consumer protection is all about the rights of the financial service consumers. But also, we need to preach the obligations so that whoever enters into any transaction, they know their obligations they need to perform for them to go through that journey well.
Before we get to the obligations, what are my rights as a consumer?
They vary depending on the financial services or products, because every product a consumer has a right, but they also have obligation. So they vary from you having contracts, using you being able to choose which language you need documents to be in, your right to complain whenever something happens, your right to get any service that you want as long as you've met all the requirements. So all those are the rights.
I'm talking about that in case any of my rights are affected. And let's say I meet all the terms and conditions Bank X has put in place for me to acquire a loan. But then there's a delay in maybe giving me that loan. And they say, we need to see stable salary inflow, but there's a stable salary inflow coming in. Do I have a right to report?
Automatically.
Who do I report to?
It depends, because there's what we call first instance. First, you need to resolve the issue with your financial service provider. But if it fails, then we are there as a central bank, as the external dispute resolution agents right now. Although the law talks about a committee that will be in charge of conflict resolutions between the financial service provider and financial service consumers, but currently we're doing it. And you saying that you've met all the requirements by the day service, that we've put different provisions in our law and implementing regulations where all financial institutions are required to have what we call a service charter. Service charter is a document that indicates all the products and services that offer vis-a-vis the timelines, vis-a-vis the requirements and the costs it takes.
So are there already existing timelines of, if I'm looking for a mortgage, I will be given an answer in 5 days. If I'm looking for an overdraft, I should be given an answer in 10 days. Those are already existing.
Yes, not in the regulations, but banks or financial institutions are required to have, and they're supposed to be published at their premises where they work from and websites for those that already have websites. So it's a requirement. Whoever doesn't have, there is a sanction for that.
How big is the sanction?
There are a lot. We have a sanction regime where we look at which provision you've violated and then what's the sanction. They vary from administrative sanctions to particularly sanctions, what we call monetary sanctions. We sanction to give us money. We even request compensations. If we can justify that they need to compensate you, they can.
If in case I meet all their terms and conditions and, you know, this potential loan was supposed to come in 5 days and that loan was going to help me pay for something that was going to be maybe an asset and there was a delay and it was taken over by another person because of that delay, I could come to you and they could be in a very tough position.
There is a provision for you if you've not been given a service that you deserved and then you can justify that maybe you lost something, then the financial institution is required to compensate you. They are required to have compensation guidelines in place for themselves, but we also have some guidelines to guide them. So when it fails between you and them to compensate you, they also escalate.
I love this information because it usually feels like there's one big Goliath and we're just a small David that doesn't even have stones to throw at these people. So now we go to the part of obligations. What are my obligations as a consumer?
They also vary depending on the product. For example, if it's a loan, you have an obligation to pay as agreed, as per the contract. You have an obligation to do whatever you agreed. Now, you understand when there's a contract, each party has what to perform and what to do. So what you're supposed to do as the borrower, those are your obligations. So if, for example, you were to pay monthly and then you fail to pay monthly, then you breach the contract. So that's your obligation.
Quickly running away from those obligations, you have functions in this department as the National Bank of Rwanda in relation to the consumer protection. Could you share some of these functions and how they perform?
Thank you. We do different things because consumer protection is broad. It's not about comprehensive handling. When you talk of comprehensive handling, you're looking at the implementation of the law and regulations. As we do that through on-site, off-site examinations, semantic reviews, mystery shopping, market monitoring, so different approaches like social media monitoring or advertisement monitoring to see whether they are not prying maybe at competition practices. Then we also do empowerment. We empower consumers and financial service consumers because since it's a new practice, we need to empower financial service consumers to catch up with where we want to go as quick as possible. But we also do empowerment of the consumers through awareness campaigns, through radios, TVs, physical awareness. We've created what we call consumer protection ambassadors across the districts, where we have people representing us at the district level, spreading the word of consumer protection so that everyone knows their rights and obligations, but also help us to identify some of the issues where they operate from, so that we can also follow up because we know and we understand that we cannot do it alone. So we try to get different stakeholders to help us in that journey. But also, you know, we are in the world of digital that is moving on as so fast. So we're also trying to catch up with the digital world where we are coming up with different initiatives like the so-called Jerenanya, which is a web comparator or price web comparator, but also in a chatbot where consumers can regain their complaints. And, you know, any other assignments like surveys to look at the satisfaction levels, to look at the issues, to look at the trends, the new market risks that are coming that would affect our consumers so that we can be proactive, coming up with legal and regulatory frameworks to protect these consumers.
What has been your biggest surprise when it comes to the usage of these platforms? What are those things that you felt like, oh, we hadn't seen this coming, but it seems to be maybe a major challenge, or even better, it seems to be working?
There are a lot of things, most especially with these initiatives. You know, we have some good initiatives like the comprehensive handling system, the new chatbot, but you know, shifting people's mindset from them feeling I need to reach out to the bank and put in my complaint, and I'm seated here, I can submit a complaint, has been a little bit of a challenge because, you know, we expected people to, you know, take over all these platforms and then start using them. But nevertheless, we continue doing the awareness so that it reaches everyone because we know that's the only way we can do this thing because, you know, with the system, we are able to monitor well because every complaint that is loaded, we have an eye on it. And alike when you submit it, they might put it somewhere. We might see it, but at a later stage, but when you put it into the system, then we have an eye, an immediate eye. So institutions will also be scared of us looking at them, they're not responding to. So there are a lot of benefits with these initiatives. So us not getting the nerve uptake for the initiatives was kind of a challenge, but we understand, and that's why we're doing comprehensive awareness across the country for them to take up.
Just a reminder to our listeners that you're listening to the National Bank of Rwanda podcast. Find it across all your podcast platforms. We are talking about Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, Podify, Summation. But if you missed earlier episodes, you can always go back. You're listening to episode 6. And in this episode, we're speaking to Mr. Frank Kajungu. He's the Manager of Financial Sector Conduct and Consumer Protection Market Conduct Supervision Department at the National Bank of Rwanda. Mr. Frank, You have talked about Njiriranya as one of the tools that is being used. It's an application. What is this and how does it solve for financial service consumers? Just break down how this came to fruition.
Let me first and foremost talk about the key pillars of consumer protection so that they help me to dive into Njiriranya. Some of the key pillars, we have what we call transparency and disclosure, and then fair treatment, and then compliance handling and data privacy. So as one of the key pillars being transparency and disclosure, Njiriranya is an answer for that, because what it is trying to solve or trying to help us is transparency, most especially in the pricing. Because Njiriranya is a platform where a financial service consumer can go and compare different prices of different financial services using one platform at once. For example, if I want to compare all commercial banks, the system is able, if you want to take a loan of 10 million, the system is able to tell you, if you want to take a loan of 10 million within 6 years, it gives you who is least expensive to the most expensive. So you're able to take a decision without leaving your home, without moving from one bank to another, without incurring any cost. You know, it's seamless. So you just get it. And then if you want to take a loan, if you want to take a decision, you're able to take a decision without incurring any cost, because whatever you're doing, we are trying to avoid people incurring costs to get certain services.
Can't it also, on the other hand, bring about collusion among the players themselves if they sit down under maybe the umbrella body and say, guys, for mortgages that people want, we're all going to put it at 10, 20, 30%. Isn't there that possibility?
It's not allowed by our regulations, because as part of anti-competition practice that we put in our regulations is what we call cartel, providing cartel. You know, sitting together and then you agree on prices, it's strictly prohibited. And again, every institution submits to us a pricing model. So you have to convince us that if you're putting on 15%, that's what you're supposed to put on 15%. Because there are key principles of pricing. So it's up to you to tell us that you're putting on 30%. You have to show us.
How you go to that madness?
Yes. Well, not all financial institutions, they tell us they have operating cost of 10%. They might have the same profit margin, but they will not have same risk. They will not have same operating costs. And they might also have maybe same cost of funds. But the operating costs and risk margins, they will be different. So there's way you convince us that Bank A is incurring a similar operating costs with Bank B. So that's where we
did. That was a worry, and thank you for bringing about clarity in that regard. You are going to break down for us the major problems that Njiriranya, and you've hinted on some of the major challenges that it solves. Beyond that, when do you see the functionality of that being in regards to consumer protection?
The application started with only 10 commercial banks. It was launched, I think, 29th of March last year, but it started only with commercial banks. It was kind of pilot for us to see how it will work out. So the project is now under upgrade, where we are going to onboard all financial service providers across the sector. And we have many of them, more than 600. Because even Forex bureaus will be there, pension will be there, insurance will be there, circles will
I'm
be there.
Going to Forex bureaus will be there.
So so consumers will be able to sit wherever they are and look at what everyone is charging without leaving their homes.
So as you mentioned, we expect some form of Njiriranya 2.0 out on the market shortly. Do we have a timeline to this?
We adopted an agile approach where we'll be onboarding different financial institutions, So, for example, since it will be an upgrade of the system, so banks will also be onboarded on new upgraded system. So it will be onboarded next year, and then followed by, I think, insurance sector, and then non-depository financial institution, Forex Bureau, and then circles will come later, because we want to onboard them when the automation project is done.
Fintechs?
Of course. Whoever is licensed by the National Bank of Rwanda will be onboarded.
Before we wrap up our conversation, there's something that, you know, happens. Usually when you're coming in through the gates of the National Bank of Rwanda, I tend to find so many people who want to get in as well. Security is very intimidating. Also, some of the queries seem to be misalluded. What are the most of the misconceptions that are out there in regards to the workings of the central bank and maybe this particular department, if you could be more specific?
We have a lot of issues going on. We used to have central bank where people were saying you are not allowed to enter. And previously, it was even hard to enter, unlike today.
Very hard.
Today, I don't think there is anyone who would want to come in and then they refuse to come in under this. But we adopted an open gate policy where everyone, because we understand since we took over the responsibility of receiving citizens' complaints, then we cannot refuse them entrance. So that has been one of the challenges where some of the people would say, why, you know, we have this perception from the public where even if you are mistreated by one of the financial service providers, then you feel like no one is going to give you justice.
Well,
but we are trying to change that perception because we've done different things to make sure that people see that there is a transformation, see that there is a third party who is totally independent of the financial institutions. I'm not saying that financial institutions are there to mistreat consumers, but of course, as a human being, that's why courts are there. Me and you are not. Once we have an issue and we fail to sort it out, courts are there.
But most people think courts are expensive.
Courts are expensive, but for us, it's free of charge.
Free of charge.
And we are not even requiring them to come here. So that's why the Enunga chatbot now comes in. Because wherever you are, you can put in. Free of charge. You don't need to have a smartphone. You just need to have your small phone. You can use SMS free of charge. You can use web. You can use our NBR Twitter handle, Facebook. And then submitting your complaint, and then we're able to count.
Thank you very much for making the time, Frank.
Okay.
That was Mr. Kajung Frank. He is the manager of Financial Sector Conduct and Consumer Protection Market Conduct Supervision Department at the National Bank of Rwanda. You don't have to bring your complaints to Kiyovu. You just have to go ahead and use the chatbot or use the Jirania application. And you don't have to have a smartphone. You could just use your normal USSD phone to be able to interact with the National Bank of Rwanda to send in those queries. Even better, use the National Bank of Rwanda social media platforms from TikTok to Twitter to Instagram and very soon Threads, hopefully, to be able to share those queries with us. As always, thank you for listening to this episode of the National Bank of Rwanda podcast. Have a great day.